This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Halliburton, a three for the win, and
from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
He is the owner of the Indianapolis Colts, Jim Irsay.
I always say it's hard to find me one person that doesn't love Rich Eisen. We certainly appreciate all you do for the NFL.
Earlier on the show, CBS sports broadcaster Jim Nantz, Bills tackle Deion Dawkins. Still to come, founder and CEO of Clutch Sports Group, Rich Paul. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is live on the air. We've already had a great 2 hours, and it's about to get better because joining us, let's get right to him. He's sitting right here on the Rich Eisen Show, the founder and CEO of Clutch Sports Group, which is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger. Rich Paul is here on the program. Good to see you. How are you, sir?
Thank you. I'm great. How about yourself?
I am great. One of the first questions I want to ask you is, how did you take in last night's game? Like, are you just sitting at home? Like,
no, I was actually still in the office.
Okay.
I was still in the office. And, you know, it was one of those games where it was kind of weird because Indiana got off to such a great start.
They didn't miss.
Right. And then you started to see New York in true New York fashion just grind their way back into things to go up at the half. And then obviously when Brunson picked up his fifth foul, you thought, okay, well, this is the time for Indy to make a run.
Yeah.
It actually went the other way. Crowds in it, et cetera. But I said, and I was in my office with some of my friends and a colleague, and I said, you know what? You can never give up on this Indiana team. Like they, and right when Naismith started to make shot after shot after shot,
they didn't miss again.
And I'm like, okay. And but you know, Rick Carlisle is a really good coach. And I don't think people, because he's not as loud as sometimes other coaches may have been in the past.
Right.
He's, but everywhere he's went, his teams have been always prepared. Yesterday he made an adjustment where he subbed Obi Toppin he subbed Miles Turner for Obi Toppin.
Mm-hmm.
That was a huge sub because that allowed them to be a lot faster in their switches on the defensive end.
Yeah.
And then Obi Toppin, in true Obi Toppin fashion, he's so athletic. They ran a side pick and roll. He rolled, and I think it was Halliburton, I think, that found him. Once he gets there, that's a dunk. He actually got fouled in that play. It should have been an and one.
Well, I mean, Toppin getting blocked by OG, getting the ball back, and then going underneath the basket and laying it in.
He made that same play against the Cavs. The same play, that thing, not the block, but that.
Right, but the fact that he was able to have his shot blocked, get it back, and then have the presence of mind to do what he did. But I'm just wondering, are you watching as a fan? I mean, you've been in the business
fan,
for so long.
But I watch
here,
as a fan, too. I think people don't realize how much basketball I watch and actually know. I think when people think about agents, agents don't really know basketball at all.
Right.
They know a lot of stats.
You know,
it's like, hey, you had a great game, but it's a little bit different for me. And obviously, I played in high school and been around the best player in the game for
ever.
I lose track of how many years at this point. But I watch as a fan. I watch all basketball, women's, men's, you know, kids. You know, I just love the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I was in the gym early yesterday morning I got there at 7 a.m. with our NIL guys. Our pre-draft guys wasn't even on the court yet.
Yeah.
So this has always been a passion of mine, honestly.
I mean, that shot that Halliburton puts up hits the heel. All the basketball you've seen, have you ever seen anything like that? I mean, where it hits, it goes straight up and then like down the chimney and didn't even touch rim.
That's just one of those things where, first of all, he was mad he didn't get his foot back. I thought he actually did.
So did everybody.
But that's just one of the signs, man. It's just like Sometimes that's it's your time. Now, I don't know if that means you get past this series or you win it all, right. But I've watched Indiana a lot this year.
Right.
That's been their thing all year. And people can't forget, this team was in the Eastern Conference Finals last year.
Mm-hmm.
So they're experienced as it pertains to their positioning today. And they believe. They believe they can win this series.
Well, clearly they don't blink coming back in the way they did to eliminate the Bucks,
yeah,
and then eliminate the Cavs,
yeah,
and then you got to wonder again. I know there's still lots of basketball left to be played. I said at the beginning of the show, it's got a Kirk Gibson, Freddie Freeman game one type home run feel, where you're gonna wonder when you look back, like, did the series end on that moment?
It's like, tough to come. It's tough to come back from a morality perspective,
right?
The Knicks do have some guys, obviously some winners, so we'll see. I think Brunson will be fine. We'll see what happens with some of the other guys. But I actually thought it would be a split. I actually thought the Knicks would get the first game just because of the home crowd, et cetera, blah, yeah, blah, blah. I did think the Pacers would split. We talked about it yesterday in the gym. But, you know, this is still a series that I could imagine still goes seven, or it could be over in five. It just depends. You know, that momentum swing, mm-hmm, in the playoffs, what guys do when they go home to prepare themselves mentally to get back up to that level of play where they forget about what happened yesterday. You got to have a short memory in our league.
Mm-hmm.
In the regular season games and definitely in the playoffs, that can't linger. But people are human, so we'll see what happens.
We'll see. Rich Paul here in studio, founder and CEO of Clutch Sports Group. We're going to have a couple segments with Rich. Thrilled to explore the studio space, if you will. Let's just jump into, again, you mentioned being around the best player in the game. When did you first meet LeBron James? When did Rich Paul and LeBron James
early first 2000s meet? In the airport, in Akron Canton Airport. I was flying to Atlanta. He was flying to Atlanta. I was wearing a Warren Moon jersey,
mm-hmm,
which is one of my favorite quarterbacks, and I actually liked the jersey, the color of the jersey, and he noticed it and questioned about it, and that was the start of our existence of knowing each other.
So you just struck up a conversation in the airport.
Well, they came to me, yeah.
Right.
That was it. Yeah, it's no fabricated storyline.
No, I'm just
yeah.
wondering. So
because what happened? I found this out 20 years later.
Okay.
What happened was he was leaving to go to the airport. Mm-hmm. The last thing he saw on his television was a music video in which the artist Fabulous was having his video. He had the actual jersey on.
The Warren Moon jersey.
The Warren Moon as well.
Like a Houston Oilers?
Yeah, Houston Oilers.
Okay.
The baby blue, powder blue one.
Sure.
So when he got to the airport and he seen me in that same jersey that he had just saw on TV, that gave him I'm not going to use the word courage, but I guess the energy to strike up the conversation with me. What kind of jersey is that? Blah, blah, blah. And I just so happened to be in that business at that time.
Yes.
And I said, you know, where are you guys going? I'm going to Atlanta. We was at the same gate, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And got on the flight, landed in Atlanta, get to the baggage claim. Here he comes again. A couple gentlemen was with him. And I said, look, here's my business card. When you get to the store, go here. If I'm there, great. If I'm not there, just say my name. They'll give you my discount. And I didn't think nothing of it. That was what I thought would be the end of it.
Yes.
And obviously it wasn't.
So you ever think, like, if you wore a different jersey?
Oh, all the time. By the way, I was a lowlife. And not what I mean by that is not like low life, like meaning like I wore all Ralph Lauren. Like I had Ralph Lauren salt and pepper shakers, placemats, towels, right, you know, bedding.
Finally appointed.
Clothes, everything.
Yes.
I could have easily wore something Ralph that day. And it wouldn't even have been a conversation.
Random
and I could take it a step further.
Yes.
I could have also just flew out of Cleveland.
Sure.
Why are we flying out of Akron, Canton? You know, there's a flight every hour on the hour.
Right.
But a friend of mine who booked the flight,
yes,
thank God, he was a little cheaper than I was.
Yes.
And he wasn't thinking about the time. He was looking at the price of the flight versus we got to drive an hour to get to the airport anyway. So
right.
Time is money in my world.
Right.
But Luckily for me, he did the opposite. And yeah, there's a lot of things. I could have not win. I could have not been in a great mood to speak to people. There's a lot of things, but you know, it was fate. And I think you know, the opportunity that came from just that initial meet, you know, I have to be over appreciative about the opportunity that was awarded to me. And then I respected that opportunity so much by building something of what, like what I've been able to build today along with my team. So,
oh my gosh, no question about it. I mean, it's a top of the mountain type stuff. And so did you guys really just, that's how you met, but when that's did you say, okay, now we are going to go into business together?
Like, no, not even close, Rich. No, you fast forward in the movie so fast. That was, he actually came back to Akron.
Yeah.
And asked me, could I come there
to
Akron?
Yeah.
Because he had some guys that wanted some of the jerseys. So I drove down. That turned into, hey, I have an AAU tournament. Are you able to go? That turned into, hey, can you stay here in Chicago while I rehab, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That turned into, I need your social security number. That turned into, man, I don't have a job for you. I don't have a role for you, but I just want you around. We'll figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since we met, we've been, you know, you've been honest, you've been, I trust you, so on and so forth,
mm-hmm.
but I don't have a role for you. Okay, great, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't one of those type of guys that, I didn't need a role. I can create one. I had that confidence going in, and that's exactly what I did. I did not have a role for a while, and I was not making a lot of money. The most money I ever got paid while working for him was $48,000 a year. But I didn't focus on the finance of it all. It was the opportunity.
The future.
Yeah, and I didn't know what that opportunity was going to be per se or what the future held. I just never got complacent at the checkpoints. And I never cared to only lean on just him. Although extremely appreciative for the opportunity, I wanted to make something of it because, as you know, like, I think for all athletes and the people around them, these guys don't owe us anything. And I think that when they give you an opportunity, it's up to you to appreciate it first and foremost, and then to not abuse it. And so that was always my focus. It wasn't like we sat down and there was a plan and you're gonna do this and this person gonna do that. No, it was just like, it was a evolution. Not being complacent, and always respecting pretty much him. So I never did anything for finance that was for my best interest. It was always what his best interest was. And then as I evolved and, you know, I didn't represent him until his ninth year in the league.
Right.
So it wasn't like this plan, even doing that, that wasn't planned either.
What do you mean? How is that not planned?
Wasn't planned. I decided to leave a former agency because I didn't feel like they had a plan for me.
Correct.
And whether he was coming or not wasn't my focus. I always believed that I can do something. I didn't know it would be at this level. I'd be lying if I told you that.
Right.
But I was so motivated and so pissed off at the same time that it didn't matter who was coming. I just felt like, you know, I was going to make something happen. And through my journey and him seeing me sacrifice time and missing trips and not being and really focusing and recruiting Eric Bledsoe and recruiting Tristan Thompson and recruiting Corey Joseph, he's seen that. So when I did decide to step out on my own,
mm-hmm.
he knew I was serious. And so he supported that. It wasn't like he said, oh, well, you do this. And I said, oh, I'm going to do this only if you come. That wasn't the conversation. Although that's what's fabricated by others. That was not it.
Well, I mean, it's obviously worked out for all involved here.
Yeah, it's worked out fantastic for all of us. Actually, it overworked, you know.
What do you mean by that?
I never imagined being
what Clutch Sports is and what it's becoming.
Chance. No, yeah, not even close. Like no.
you're representing player
over 600.
The future
clients,
Warren
Moon. Yeah.
You're representing Jalen Hurts. I mean, Jalen Hurts, Super Bowl MVP.
Jalen Milroe in this year's draft. We had five first rounders in the NFL draft.
Yeah.
We have an unbelievable NBA draft class, as well as, you know, guys that came from previous agencies that allowed us to represent them as a company. You know, looking, we have over 200 plus staff members today, and I'm on the board of UTA and a partner there. And I just never imagined all those things. But when you start something and you're passionate about it, it's also not your focus. You know, I've never sat in the success of anything. I just was really just, okay, what's the next thing, the next thing, the next thing? And representing talent is one of those things that I'm extremely passionate about, because you get to see you have an effect on people's lives. They evolve, they have families, and when it's genuine, those things, you get up and you look forward to going to work every day. And so it's been a blessing. It really has. I always talk about, you know, people talk about the yak, the yards after the catch.
Yes.
And I like to talk about the yow, the yards after the opportunity. You know, it's up to you what you do with that opportunity. And so for me, I've always respected and appreciated, one, LeBron for giving me an opportunity that I wouldn't have had. These institutions, these Hollywood agencies, they don't really give most people that look like me at that time, especially at that time, opportunity, right? You had to have some type of higher education, et cetera. So where would my entry point would have actually been? Nowhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
Today that's changed. And so to have that impact on the industry is worth more than money, in my opinion.
Well, I'm thrilled that you're here, especially since I also had no idea. Just to be fully honest, this shirt is Ralph Lauren that I'm wearing.
So is my jacket.
You know, is that right?
Is it purple?
Every day.
No,
purple
it's
label
it's,
or blue
it's,
label?
It's blue. It's yeah.
It's blue?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Nice shirt.
So, thank you. I appreciate it. I had no idea that I was walking into it that way. But let's take a break, and if you don't mind, we'll get down to what's going on on the regular and the day-to-day. Obviously,
whatever
there's lots
you
to talk
want.
About.
I'm here.
That's Rich Paul of Clutch Sports, CEO and founder of Clutch Sports Group, right here on The Rich Eisen Show. In the NFL, there's zero margin for error. As we all know, one single mistake can change the outcome of a game, a season, livelihoods, my goodness. As the official sleep and wellness partner of the National Football League, Sleep Number knows all of that and makes it their mission to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. And thus, you get a Sleep Number bed, you get the same exact thing. I feel it all the time. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it does make the world of difference because you can adjust your bed's firmness on your side differently than the other. And after working out, for recovery, it's game-changing. That's just one of the things that makes a Sleep Number bed so awesome. It's why 95% of Rams players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players have a Sleep Number smart bed. 80% of NFL players have a Sleep Number smart bed. You should too. Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed? So you can choose your ideal comfort on either side. And now it's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event, up to 50% off, limited time, exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. See store or sleepnumber.com for details. Back here on the Roku Sports Channel radio, we'll join in just a couple minutes time. Rich Paul still here. We like talking about things that we talk about in the commercial break. TJ, did you wear shoes specifically for Rich Paul today? Did that happen?
Well, you
TJ?
Know, I got.
Am
I
calling you out?
I got about 75, 80. I keep in rotation.
Yeah, he didn't, because he would have had on the New Balances if he did that. He did wear.
I mean, I
know why you wore those.
Why did you wear it?
It's nostalgic.
Okay.
It's nostalgic. Those are Zoom generations, which are, you know, probably the best of that of the last. I guess where we at 22 now.
Mm-hmm.
22 of LeBron's signature shoe line.
Okay. So you did do this on purpose.
I mean, yeah, sure.
Okay. Normally, does the shirt have any meaning? I mean,
I'll just say it's if you know Jay-Z and they had a song about people in Paris and that may have been.
Okay.
Yeah, this whole thing was intentional. It's
okay.
I know me and Rich had that connection. But I did it. Okay, fine.
Oh, yeah, so you're wearing Ralph Lauren as well. The jacket is Ralph Lauren?
I wear a polo jacket every single day on the show, believe it or not.
I haven't even noticed that. Have you guys noticed that?
I think I knew that. It wasn't top of mind when we started today.
Look at us.
It's subtle. There we go. It's subtle. You know, it's subtle.
My name's Rich. Your name's Rich. I mean,
we have a lot in common. It's a lot of synergy here right now.
We do.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Yes.
You're Michigan and I'm Ohio State.
Do you know what today is? Today's the.
Why'd you bring it up, Rich?
It's been 2,000 days since Ohio State last beat Michigan in football. 2,000 days.
Oh, I thought you were saying today. It was a different day, but that's fine.
No, it's okay.
We won a national championship, so it don't matter.
No, I understand that.
Yeah,
I know.
It's okay.
If you want, we can talk about the last national champion to have won the conference and not lose a game in the process. Or we could move on. It's up to you, Rich. Yeah. Rich Paul is here.
Well, that seems like it struck a real nerve, Rich. So
You have no idea. You have no idea what we endure daily here.
Yes. Oh, I know.
But I have a lot.
Maverick's been here too. Listen, he's talking about the Buckeyes.
I have a lot of Michigan family.
Right.
A lot.
In your business too, right?
Business.
Right.
Just as friends. I'm surrounded by a ton of Wolverines.
And I'm surrounded by a ton of Buckeyes.
Okay, so it's fine.
It is fine. We can respect and then on occasion disrespect.
We only don't really get along on one day out the year.
That's true.
So.
That's true. Although, I did try on for size being an Oregon fan. That didn't work out. I tried being a Notre Dame fan. Well, because they were playing you. You understand?
You just wanted us to lose. Okay.
It's not the same way. Seriously, it's not the same way. You weren't rooting for Pennix in Washington. You weren't?
I was not.
Oh,
no.
Come on, Rich Paul.
I root for the conference.
Come on.
I did. I wasn't rooting for it. I mean,
Okay. So what did I say? Something different?
You said something very different.
All right. No, I root for the conference.
Yeah, I was rooting for the conference. It's okay. I know you don't, but it's fine.
Rich Paul here on the Rich Eisen Show, everybody. Okay. So first things first. I love Jalen Hurts. I love that guy. You mentioned Yao. That's something I'm going to steal, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Yards after the opportunity.
Yes.
That guy personifies Yao, right?
Yes, he does.
Or opportunities he wasn't given.
Yeah, I mean.
As well.
It's hard to find a guy like Jalen Hurts who,
right.
When you think about it, his success is based upon him really having perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Because most guys who would be taken out of a game at that stage, it becomes a big thing. The people around him, it becomes a big thing. He transfers. Then he comes in and he gets, not starting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, the yards after the opportunity is so important. And when I talk about that, it's like, look at all the guys who've given me an opportunity to represent them. Despite whatever my stature may be, mm-hmm. I never take for granted when someone gives me an opportunity, even our rookies this year. Don't matter. I've been in the game for so long, but still, they're giving us an opportunity as a company to represent them and their families. And Jalen Hurts is his picture should be next to the Yao.
Right,
and then Jalen Hurts.
You also employ a nuclear weapon in Nicole Lynn as well.
Nicole's great. Yes.
I mean, so honestly, what she does for so many of your clients as well is Jalen your first Super Bowl quarterback, Super Bowl winning client?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
He planted a flag in a way for Clutch Sports Group, being the first quarterback Super Bowl winning client of yours, right?
100%. Yeah. A Buckeye started the football group in Chase Young.
Okay.
And then Jalen planted the flag in the Super Bowl winning MVP. We have a lot of Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State.
Where are the Wolverines? You don't have any Wolverines?
We gotta. You know what? I may have to move someone to Ann Arbor to make sure we get we get some. We need to be there.
Oh my!
We need
gosh.
To be there. Yeah. Or maybe you can help.
I'm happy to help. I'm happy to help.
Yeah, you know, okay, great.
Because there's many of them, you know, from Team 144 that are doing really well in the National Football League.
It is.
I'm happy to help. It is.
Our Browns, my Browns just drafted someone.
That's right, Mason Graham.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're Browns fan?
Of course.
Okay. Yes. All right. You know, yeah. And Miles Garrett is a client, so he's there.
Yes.
So he's staying there. Okay. This now I see. I'm connecting some dots here.
Yeah.
So let's talk about LeBron, if you don't mind. What is his future? What would you say his future is?
I have no idea.
None.
Zero.
When are you going to get down to those discussions, or you haven't, or you have, or
well, right now, I'm really focused on this draft right now.
Okay.
Normally, our process is you kind of weigh everything and see how he's feeling and all those type of things.
Physically,
and,
mentally, or what? Or all of it?
Well, we know he's dealing with the knee thing, but,
right?
But yeah, same process has been for the last I don't know how many years. But then we have some other free agents and so on and so forth. And then he'll come around to what he's thinking at some point, and we'll kind of go over some things and go from there. We're like Nick Nolte and Reggie Hammond.
The boys are back in town, is what you're saying?
It's pretty easy, yeah.
It's a great 48 hours reference right there.
Yeah, wow. That one.
Okay.
So,
I said, but it's a lot. Are you the Nick Nolte or is he the Nick Nolte in this equation?
It depends. It depends.
Okay.
It's interchangeable sometimes.
All right.
Yeah. But I actually, it's going to be a lot of movement this year, I imagine. And I, you know, we have a few things in front of us that we really have to nail down. When I say we, I'm talking about as a company.
Okay.
And so.
Is there anything we'll you want see. To share on that front right now that you can share?
No, I mean, I think the De'Aaron Fox being in San Antonio was obviously something that happened in the middle of the season, and mm-hmm. have to, you know, focus on that a little bit. And Fred down in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're as successful as they come, Rich. You can, I imagine.
Yeah, I can walk and chew bubble gum.
You can do that.
Yeah.
And obviously, everybody's kind of on pins and needles about how much longer LeBron wants to keep playing, and obviously, would it be here in Los Angeles?
I think they've been on pins and needles for a while. I think. I don't know about that though. I wish I had the answer, Rich. I don't know.
Yeah. So you don't have conversations with him about how much longer he wants to play.
It's early. Or?
Okay.
I don't have conversations like that. I go into each year like he's continuing to play. I never even like talk about that.
Okay.
No.
So how much longer do you think he'll play?
I always get asked this question. I think physically he can play several more years. I don't think it's the physicality, it's the physical aspect of it. I think it's where you're at mentally. You know, I think with all these guys, I think we put so much on the individual, but there's a lot of layers to success as an individual. And I think when you think about him per se, there's a lot of decisions that has to be made, you know, going into a locker room, what the roster looks like, what the approach of each player is. You know, he's always going to get everybody's best shot, and so is the team he's on. You know, just they're going to get everybody's best shot with the history of the team. And,
right.
And, you know, David Falk said something the other day about LeBron cherry picking, and they was talking about it this morning, and I'm like, that's interesting to use the term cherry picking when – if we're going to make a fruit basket here, maybe I'll send you one after I leave for having me on the show.
Thank you, Rich.
But the careers of the LeBron and Michael Jordan, it's not apples and apples for a number of reasons. But the cherry picking terminology of it all, coming from someone who literally had John Thompson, Dean Smith, and Mike Krzyzewski supporting his business, you know, putting superstar athletes in his lap. I think he was part of the Cherry Clan. You know, I used to sell, my dad used to sell that candy back in the day. I just thought that was very unfair and a little beneath David Faulk for a number of reasons. And so we can't have revisionist history, and we all want to just determine who's the gold and who's the best and so on and so forth. But I just thought that was a little beneath David to say that, and I'll table that there.
But, well, we were going to bring that up, and for those who might not know what Rich is referring to, is a Sports Business Journal quote from the longtime agent of Jordan saying, "I really liked LeBron, but I think if Jordan had cherry picked what teams he wanted to be on and two other superstars, he would have won 15 championships."
And again, when you look at that, right? Again, the cherry pick. I've discussed that. The two other superstars, Michael never had to leave. They, you know, Michael's never been the underdog in any finals, not one time. Michael never had a 24-hour, 365 news cycle. He never had shows built strictly to criticize him. People made millions of dollars criticizing LeBron James. That was their entire job. And when you talk about the difficulty of it all, Michael played for Dean Smith, Michael played for Phil Jackson, and Michael had Jerry Krause. I'm the biggest Michael Jordan fan ever. I love Michael Jordan. And I don't think Michael Jordan would have used the term cherry pick, so I'm not up here to discredit Michael Jordan. I think Michael Jordan transcended our game to a level that we all benefited from, right? And I'm more so focused on less about who's the GOAT and why I can't be at a dinner with those two guys having a great conversation, or why I can't put a little bit of money that I've earned into a fund that those two guys have formulated so we can be a part of the deal flow from the Blackstones and the Apollos and the Andreessen Horowitz and things of that nature. Mm-hmm. And I think that those type of comments is also the reason why people and that look like me in my community always think there can only be one king. And it's forever embedded us as the minority in a lot of places, and why it's so uncommon to see a community of successful black men. So I thought that was very, again, beneath David Faulk with all the success he's had and all the cherry picking that he's been able to do amongst the three highest level universities there could ever be as it pertains to aligning with the game of basketball. It doesn't get any bigger than Georgetown, North Carolina, and Duke. So he actually has a bag of cherries, you know. So I'll leave that there, though.
Rich Paul here on the Rich Eisen Show. If I may also just follow up on what I think is kind of a subtext of what he's saying as well, that also dovetails into what a lot of media members have said about LeBron's business strategy as a player in this league, is that he runs the team that he's on, that he makes the decisions about roster, and he makes decisions about coaches, and I would love to put that in front of you and how you would respond to that.
And that's false. You know, I think that, and I can say that because I'm there.
Right.
You know, and when you think about that and that narrative, people don't think about the impact that that has off the court, right? It hurts friendships, guys that play on teams, because they feel like, hey, I may have been traded, and it's because you wanted me out of here, right? And I know that is not to be true. There's something to be said when someone come to you and say, hey, what do you think about this guy? You may say, or you may not even want to comment at all. And they come back, and they come back, and they come back. And you say, you know what? That's what you want to do. Go ahead. That's not you making a decision. That's you agreeing with something because, okay, cool, if that's what you guys feel is the best thing to do, do it. I don't own the team. I'm not in the front office. You know, it clearly he don't run the team because there's things that transpired that he didn't even know about. So
like the Luka trade is what you're saying?
Yeah. So how is he running the team? The Westbrook trade, you know, he didn't make that trade, contrary to what people try to put out there. He did not make that trade. And I know that for a fact. So I think those things are, there's one thing to have power and influence, and there are guys who earn the right for some decisions to be, you know, ran past you or so for some teams to say, hey, what do you think about this? Or, yeah, that's earned. We've all been in those rooms and that's earned. But there's a fine line because you can also put yourself in a situation where, for example, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is now on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Maybe he should be there. Maybe he shouldn't. He's the MVP today, so obviously he should.
Are you referring to when he was a Clipper? When Kawhi got there?
Whoever made the decision, I don't know who it was or whatnot, you have to relive that now, right? Because if you're putting it on the player, if you're putting it on the front office, you know, there's so many decisions to be made. And again, we can't confuse someone asking a player for an opinion and that being the decision that's being made. Those are two separate things. And I deal with all of them, players and front offices. Those are two separate things. You make decisions at a front office and you live with the results. That's why you get paid the money that you get paid to be in that position. As a player, I don't think players are in the position to make a specific decision all the time due to the fact that they're not doing the diligence that the front offices are doing to make that decision. Because it's one thing to date somebody, it's another thing to live with them.
I love your sayings, man.
It's true.
Oh, yes, it is. Yeah. Rich Paul, founder and CEO of Clutch Sports Group here in the few minutes we have left. My gosh, there's so much that you're up to. What is Adopt that Publicis recently acquired? What is that?
Oh, so Adopt was a company that it's a creative marketing agency. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have anything to do with Clutch Sports Group.
Okay.
It's totally separate. But it was a company that a couple of friends of mine.
Yes.
But specifically two guys that formerly executives at Nike, David Creech and Joshua Moore, we created back in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And we had success, and we sat in a space in which we really aligned with brands, all their creative messaging, helping brands understand not just the athlete, but you know, consumers better understand those brands, the brands better understand the consumer and the athlete. But in addition to that, working with Netflix and Epic Games and Fortnite and Lululemon and Athleta and North Face and all these, you know, it really just blew up. And it's really those two guys are geniuses. They really are. And
right.
Anyone that's had an opportunity to work with David Creech or Joshua Moore, they would say the same. I bet on them as people. And obviously they would say, no, Rich, you had some relationships and so on and so forth. But really, it was them. And you know, we hit at the right time, and anytime a company like Publicis comes in and identifies your work as something that can be of value to them, they evaluated the company and made us an offer, and we decided to allow them to acquire the company. And so something that I'm extremely proud of, you know, things happen just by chance, but this was by chance and by expertise and capability, and I was happy to be a part of that team and help lead the way from a business perspective. But those guys were the ones every day in the trenches doing the work that got us here. And so we had a team effort with a few other people as well, and it's been great. So I was really excited about that. There was a picture going around that with Fairleaf and Matt Pritzker and another gentleman by the name of Alex Cohen, who we were all worked together on that, and it's one of the coolest things I've been a part of and been able to do. So,
well, congrats
really excited
on that.
About that. Thank
and
you.
You got and you know, obviously, Clutch Sports has gone international for some time now. Mm-hmm. Representatives of outstanding footballers, Roof.
Yeah, those guys are incredible. Football representation agency out of Munich, but we also have offices in London and Mallorca, but was able to lead that with some of my colleagues at UTA, and we were able to acquire Roof, and it was something that took us 2 years to do. We was really passionate about it, wanted to get into space, but you know, anytime you're buying a company 3,000 plus miles away, you know, you have to bet on the people. And when you talk about the Roof and how they represent clients in the space and what they, the culture that they had as a company and spending time with them over 2 years, you just saw that we kind of shared some of the same, what I would say, thought process as it pertained to representing our clients and what our culture was like, not focused just on the finance of it all, but really wanted to do right by each client. And we just hit it off. They were led by a guy named Bjorn, and he and I really hit it off. It was funny, my first time, he was here and we were talking and we were in the car and actually I was talking, he was just in my car and I was on the phone for like the first hour and he was just in the car. And he was like, when I hung up, he was like, he was like, remind me a lot of myself, you know? He was just listening to the call. I was actually on the phone with the team. And he and I hit it off right away. And then I was able to meet the rest of the team. And then—
Were you wearing a Warren Moon jersey?
I was, no.
Those days are over?
Those days, no. Actually, mm-hmm. I would love to, I can't, the one I have in my office is framed, but mm-hmm. I did say I was gonna get me another Warren Moon jersey soon. But I wear this pretty much I actually wear this every day.
This is, I guess, your uniform?
Like Rich literally Palmer. The same pants and sweatshirt every day.
Okay.
Yeah. So
right.
I've been on that for about 6 months now. I'm saving a lot of money.
Well, it's working for you.
Yeah,
it's working.
It's working.
For you, Rich.
Yeah,
I can confirm.
Is that what Steve Jobs did?
Yeah, it's right. Hey, listen, work for Steve Jobs, works for Rich Paul. Everybody, thank you for coming on here, Rich Paul.
No, thank you.
Yeah, I really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, yeah.
I feel
we got to get dinner sometime.
I would love to do that. Let's do this on the regular.
We're in the same city.
We are in the same city. We have the same first name. We both like Ralph Lauren. And then, you know, and I just add you to the list of someone who's going to hear from me in late November. That'll be great.
You know what?
That's a growing list.
We can bet dinner right now.
Hey,
that,
now.
That,
okay. That okay. What? That what?
That the Buckeyes beat the Wolverines.
In the big house this year.
In the big house this year.
Sure. Done.
Done.
Absolutely.
Dinner of your choice, by the way.
Okay, great. I'd rather be my choice than yours. You know, if we're talking about bottom lines of each other's companies. You know what I mean? Okay.
Perfect.
But technically, you represent me. So,
yes.
Someone can write that off.
I do represent
you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
it's a win-win. Yeah, exactly.
I agree. I hope it's a win-win-win. Or, well, wait a minute. Win-win.
Like
that would be five in a row.
I like our chances this year. I'm telling you. I don't really blame you.
I don't blame you. The young man, though, who met LeBron recently.
Bryce.
Yeah. Underwood, who told LeBron, I'm about to make your life a little miserable. Apparently, I'm paraphrasing here. He was very excited to meet LeBron. He sat in that chair.
Do you know how he met him?
Through you? I
just asked, you know how he met him. I'm not saying
he mentioned Harden. He mentioned Harden kind of like brought
through.
Him over. Okay.
Well.
Yeah. Rich Paul, everybody, here on the Rich Eisen
Thank
Show.
You.
Fantastic.
Thank you.
Fantastic. You met Prince, correct?
Yeah.
What's the story behind that?
You know, I can't remember how we met initially, but after our first encounter, he made sure that I was at every house party that he had in Los Angeles. And if he knew that I was in town, like in New York, he made sure that I was at every show he performed at Madison Square Garden. I'll never forget, we were at Madison Square Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Security came to me to my seat at the end of the show, or towards the end of the show, and said, Prince wants you to come on stage. I was like, okay. Yeah, he wants you to come on stage now. All right, so I'll go on stage. It's me, Whoopi Goldberg, Cornel West, Tavis Smiley, a bunch of other people on stage. And we went to this after-hour spot after the concert, a place called Village Underground in the village.
Sure. Oh, it's famous.
Yeah. And so, you know, because Prince likes to jam afterwards. Well, Prince just went to go listen to the musicians. And so it's Prince, his assistant, myself. And I see Prince lean over to his assistant. And then all of a sudden, the assistant leans over to me and says, I don't know why I do this voice, but it's like, Prince wants you to come back and have pasta and pizza. I was like, oh, okay. And then Prince got up and left, and she got up and left. I don't know why her voice is so deep, because it was a woman.
She got up and she left. Because you were summoned.
Yes.
You were summoned by royalty.
And there was, you know, an array of people in the living room, and I went back to find Prince, and he was back there holding court with Tavis Smiley and Cornel West, and he looked up and like smiled and gave me the peace sign, and I went back in, and we had pasta and pizza at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Wow. How did Prince like his pizza? This is very important. The toppings is a window into one's soul.
There was no meat on the pizza, and I didn't see Prince eat any pizza. we would go to his house, man, for the house parties, and it'd be Stevie Wonder playing the piano, Malcolm Jamal Warner on bass, Rochelle Farrell singing lead, you know, Harry Connick Jr. playing bongos. No, that was Matthew McConaughey. Matthew McConaughey. I'm sorry. I get him confused sometimes. But it was just amazing, man. And then you would get into like 5 o'clock in the morning, his chef is serving you breakfast. You're like, why am I at Prince's house at 5 o'clock in the morning, man? It was truly an amazing relationship that not only myself, but other people had with him.
I'm just glad that it was pizza and pasta. It wasn't like a game of telephone, like Prince asked you to do something and came back pizza and pasta through his assistant.
Anthony, Prince wants you to come back to the hotel and have pasta and pizza. That's how it came to me.
Love when Mr. Anderson comes on this program. He's been on multiple times solo, multiple times with Cedric the Entertainer, talking about their barbecue, yes, brick and mortar, sir, and all that good stuff. Yes, that was a lot of fun with Rich Paul. You know what I should do? I should wear the same thing every day for 6 months. What would that be?
I once did that for a whole week years ago. The only one who noticed was Jay Felly on like a Thursday. And he was like, have you been wearing the same thing every day this week? I go, yeah. I was seeing if anyone would notice, and no one did.
You know what, Jay? You see people. Let's sneak in a win-loss game. Alfred in Kentucky, you only have about a minute and 45 seconds.
Go fast.
You there, Alfred?
Hey, is he Rich?
Yes. You there, Alfred?
Yes, sir. I see you on TV. I watch you every day, big dog.
Let's do it, big dog. You want to do the win-loss game for what?
Even hard TJ real fast. That's my big dog right there.
What up,
DC? DC for L, big dog.
What up, man?
What's up, TJ? Dallas Cowboys for life. No, that's right.
Well, here's...
Hey, forward life, Alfred. Alfred, don't get twisted.
We unfortunately only have about a minute and 10 seconds
Roll
left.
Roll through them, Alfred.
We better be fast then, big dog.
Okay, here we go. Go for it, Alfred.
You talk to me, Rich and Chris. I don't like Chris that much, but go ahead.
Hold on a second. Take the music down. Take the music down. Alfred, we're going to have to do this win-loss thing tomorrow. You're the greatest. Please call back tomorrow. You'll be the first call we take.
I've been called 5 times. It's the only time I got through.
I promise we're going to get it for you tomorrow. I promise you.
Call back in the morning, Alfred, because we need this energy.
Okay.
What time in the morning?
Just before the show. Yeah, and I will get you on first up. I promise you.
But I'm in Kentucky, so come on, noon or 9?
11
Eastern.
11,
no, 11 noon Eastern. Noon Eastern. Call us at noon Eastern tomorrow.
Oh, I'll call you 11:49. Okay.
All right.
What in your day, Adam, get you
Alfred in Kentucky.
I love you guys.
Right. Thanks back at you. Thanks again. Don't that forget. Was so much fun.
By the way,
I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by.
Yeah, we got to get full.
I don't know what I did to Alfred, but.
Well, I mean, sometimes
you know
takes,
what you did to Alfred?
You know.
Just being you, I think.
You're probably right.
I know people like Alfred.
Big dog.
Big dog.
Big
Former MLB All-Star Sean Casey, a.k.a. the mayor, keeps hitting it out of the park.
Take my 30 years of experience. Take the wisdom and knowledge I've learned from the failures when I got sent down my rookie year, all the injuries I had to overcome. Your mind is the most important tool you have in life. Be relentless. Keep charging. It matters how you talk to yourself, how you look at the world. That matters. We talk about that. I don't know. I'm fired up. Baseball's back, and it's going to be incredible. I love it.
The Mayor's Office with Sean Casey from Believe.
Follow and listen on your favorite platform.